That's good. Amen. Praise the Lord for being out here being this morning. I'm going to do a message this morning that's going to be in two parts. So today is going to be part one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank worship still got me messed up, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Chike. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Lana, bring me some tissue, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sweetie. You can go. You're dismissed. Okay. Today's message is going to be Grace and Peace, part one. It got to be too long for just one message, so I had to make it two parts. Grace and peace. The thing about it is, we all want to have the peace of God, or just peace in general. Even people don't even know God want to have peace. Everybody desire peace. Peace is something we all want. Nobody wants to live in turmoil or the absence of peace. So we all want the peace of God. The peace that surpasses all understanding, the Bible says. The peace that's not like the world's peace. You see, the world's peace depends on circumstances being just right. The world's peace depends on the lack of problems or lack of circumstances in our lives. But the peace of God, the peace of God will be there even when there is nothing that looks like we ought to have peace, but we still have peace. When it looks like all peace should be gone, but the peace of God will be there. So I'm going to talk about it. The subject is grace and peace, but obviously today is peace. Next week it'll be grace. But sometimes we miss the fact that we also need grace. We need peace and grace. We need grace and peace. In fact, the world and a lot of Christians don't realize that grace is just important as peace. It's just important as peace. We all want peace, but you hardly ever hear people saying, I want more grace. They'll be saying, I want more peace. But with grace comes peace, and with peace comes grace. I mean, I find out you can't separate the two. You can't separate peace and grace, and the Bible often puts them both together. So you really can't have the peace of God without the grace of God. It's his grace that gives us peace. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's his grace that gives us peace. We all want a peace of mind. We all want peace. And the thing about it is, the enemy is always trying to steal our peace. He does not want us to have the peace of God. So he's constantly bringing things in our lives, in our mind, attacking our bodies with sickness, whatever he can, something in the family don't go right. Something to try to steal our peace. But the word of God says that God gave us peace and wants us to have peace. And he wants to have us to have grace. The scripture teaches us a lot about both grace and peace. The Father has given us both his grace and his peace, and they both come by trusting his son, Jesus. You can't have peace without trust. Let's look at the meaning of God's peace. And then we're going to look at the meaning of God's grace. But like I said, we're mainly going to be talking about peace today. Peace is a tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is with God. So the peace of God, first when you get born again, is that assured tranquil state of being saved, of knowing that you don't have to fear God. I think about before I got saved, I feared God. I feared he was out to get me. I feared I was going to go to hell. There was a whole lot of fear. And I feared God. But salvation brings that tranquil state in your soul, that peace of knowing, okay, I don't have to fear God anymore. God is now my savior, and now he's with me. I don't have to fear about where I'm going after I die. So peace brings that. And peace also brings a state of tranquility. It brings quiet, it brings rest. It brings quiet and brings rest. So once you get born again, you have that peace of God, of knowing that peace and assurance that you're born again, that you're saved, that God is with you, that you're going to be with him. Then throughout your life, you want to have that quiet, restful peace of God in every state, everything, every circumstance. We want the peace of God. Oh, thank God for his peace. I remember in my Christian life not having peace because I was so worried or in fear about some things because I didn't trust God the way I should. But peace is something that brings that quiet, restful state to our heart and our mind. It's freedom from disquieting, oppressive thoughts or emotion. If our mind is full of oppressive thoughts or emotions, there's no peace. There's no peace. And I know we've all experienced that. You experience time when your mind is on certain things and you couldn't, there was no peace. There was no peace. There was no peace. And so sometime in our lives when it's like that, we're looking for peace and can't find peace. You go to bed and try to sleep, there's no peace. You get up, there's no peace. But when you start trusting God in that situation, peace comes. So peace is something that God wants us to have. So what about grace? What's the meaning of grace? Grace is that the divine influence upon the heart, this reflection in the life. It's also the favor of God. It's being acceptable by him, and it's the benefits of God. And it's also God's enabling power. And I love this part about grace because it lets me know that I don't have to do anything alone. We don't have to do it by ourselves. It's God enabling power and ability to follow his will, the ability to do what God says to do. That's grace. That's grace. So we have peace and grace. And those are the best twins. If you put love to it, you got triplets. And the Bible says we have our what? All three. God has given us all three. In 1 Peter 1 and 2, I read it a little while ago. Peter was talking to several churches he was writing to. But on the end of his letter, end of verse 2, in the beginning of his letter, he told them, grace to you and peace be multiplied. So that let us know what? Grace and peace can be multiplied. You can have more grace, more peace. You can have more grace, more peace. 2 Peter 1, 2 says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So if you're wondering, how can I get more grace? How can I get more peace? 2 Peter 1, 2 just told us, didn't it? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord that grace and peace can be multiplied. The more you know God, the more you know Jesus, the more grace and peace you will experience. So how do we increase in our knowledge of the Father and the Son? So since more knowledge of them gives us more grace and more peace, how can we increase in the knowledge of God? How can we have more knowledge of him, our Father, and of Jesus? We get to know them by spending time with him in his word and prayer. The more we spend in the word of God, the more we get to know God. The more we pray, the more we get to know God. The more we worship him, the more we get to know God. The more we get to know him, the more we spend time with him in his presence, the more we get to know him. Communication is just as important with God in our relationship as it is with one another. You can't get to know another person without spending time with that person in a relationship. And the same thing with God. The more we communicate with him, the more we talk to him, the more we allow him to talk to us, the more we'll get to know him. And that's how we will experience more grace and more peace. So communication with God is important. Ask him questions. I always tell y'all that. Talk to God. Spend time talking with him. Spend time asking them questions. He'll talk back to you. He'll answer your questions. He'll do that. And if you're talking to him and communicating with him, and you ask him a question, and if he doesn't answer right away, don't worry, it'll come. You might be sitting down sometime, not even thinking about what you asked, and the answer will come. You might be hearing a sermon and the answer will come. You might be reading the word of God and the answer will come. But talk to God, because he is a person. He's a spirit being. Jesus has a body now. He's with the Father, but we can still, through the Holy Spirit, communicate and talk with them. And we should do that all the time. And the more we do that, the more we get to know them. The more time we spend with God, the more we will get to know him. The more we get to know him, the more grace and peace we will have. We will have that if we spend time with the Lord. Proverbs, let's look at Isaiah 26:3. I remember when I was going through something in my life, and I had no peace because I had not yet learned to trust God. I had not learned how to get to know God and how to walk in that and trust in him more. But Isaiah 26:3, God has been one of my scriptures that God has given me. And it said, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Are you lacking peace in any area of your life, Well, are you keeping your mind stayed on the Lord in that area? How do you keep your mind stayed on the Lord in that area? Keep your mind stayed on the word of God that talks to you about that area of your life. Whatever area where you're lacking peace, whatever the word is for that area, keep your mind on the word of God that addresses that area. Because peace always has to do with trust. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Keep your mind on the Lord. That would keep you in perfect peace because he trusts in you. And that 26th verse, the fourth verse of the 26th chapter of Isaiah says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength." Trust in the Lord forever. Trust him forever. Don't ever stop trusting God, no matter what the situation, no matter what problem you come. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord, and he will keep you in perfect peace. Keep your mind on him. Keep your mind on him. Seem like it's not as easy for me to keep my mind on the Lord now as it used to be. As you get older, seem like you got to rein that mind in. But keep your mind on him, and he'll keep you in perfect peace. Peace is also an attribute of the kingdom of God. Romans 14:17 says this: "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, as much as we like to eat and drink and, indulge in food." And I was telling Lonnie about we had to go to Flat Rock with Uncle Donnie today. And she said, first thing she asked me, said, "Are we going to have food?" I said, "No, I don't think they're going to feed us, Lonnie." So the kingdom of God is what? It's not in eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So in the kingdom of God, there what? There is peace. There is peace. In his kingdom, there is peace. Hallelujah. In the world, it's not peace, but in the kingdom of God, there is peace. There is peace. Then the word of God lets us know what? That God is the God of peace. God is a God of peace. He's a God of peace. Romans 16:20 says this: "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." So when you know that God is fighting your battles for you, you have peace. The word of God said the God of peace will what? Crush Satan under your feet. He's already been defeated. But that doesn't mean he stopped doing his little stuff that, people allow him to do. But the word of God said the God of peace will crush him under your feet shortly. So we don't have to worry about our battles because God is fighting our battles for us. That thing is going to be crushed under the feet of God, the God of peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this: "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you know this is God's job and not yours, your self-effort, you have peace. You have peace. It's God, the God of peace sanctifies completely. The God of peace sanctifies our soul and our spirit and our body. Our spirit's already sanctified, but our soul and our body is in the hands of God now. And it's up to God to preserve us, to preserve our spirit, our soul, and our body blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the God of peace job. That's the God of peace job. You don't have to worry about keeping yourself. You just put your hands in God, the God of peace. And the God of peace job is to keep you, is to keep you blameless, preserve you blameless. Don't worry about it. Just trust God. Trust God with your life. Don't worry about, am I going to live right? Am I going to do right? Am I going to keep my mind on God? That's work. That's work. But if you just trust the God of peace to do it, then you have peace in your walk with the Lord. You have peace as you live your life for him. Just live your life in peace, knowing that it's his job to keep you and not yourself. Hebrews 13:20 says this, now may the God of peace, I told you the God of peace, didn't I? Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That next verse says, make you complete. I'm in Hebrews 13, 21. Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The God of peace is his job. It's the God of peace job and not mine and not yours. He will complete the good work that he started in us to do his will. He will work it out in us to his pleasing through Jesus Christ. It's his job, the God of peace. He makes us complete in every good work to do his will. He works in us what is well-pleasing to him, the God of peace, the God of peace, the God of peace. Peace is the absence of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. He's not the author of confusion, but of peace. So if there is confusion in your life, that's not the God of peace. That's the enemy. The God of peace does not bring confusion. If there's confusion in your marriage, if there's confusion in any relationship, if there's confusion among you and your children, that's not God. That's not the God of peace. That's the enemy trying to steal the peace that the God of peace is bringing. The God of peace wants to bring peace, but the enemy wants to bring all kind of turmoil and confusion to keep the God of peace from working. So God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace. Since God is the God of peace and he's not the author of confusion, we should what? Pursue peace with all people, Hebrews 12:14. And holiness, without which no one will see God. So pursue peace. We're told to pursue peace. Seek peace. Want peace. Desire peace. Psalm 34:14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. How do we seek and pursue? How do we seek peace and pursue peace? By doing what we said before. Meditating on the word of God. Getting to know God. Getting to know the God of peace. The more we get to know the God of peace, we're pursuing peace. When we get into know Jesus, we're pursuing peace. Seek peace and pursue it. Did you know the rewards follow peace? James 3:18 says this. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If you make peace, then righteousness is sown in peace in you, in your life, in your situation. Rewards follow peace. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You're blessed if you're a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Be one that bring the peace of God in the situation. Be one that bring the peace of God in the problem. Be the one that bring the peace of God on the scene. Let the peace of God be seen in you. Let it be heard. Bring it, let allow Holy Spirit to bring out that peace in you. Because you know what? The enemy brings confusion in a situation out of people. He'll bring people in a situation, and out of those people come confusion. But when we come in a situation, we're supposed to allow the God of peace to bring peace out of us so that peace can be in the situation. And did you know that peace is a gift from Jesus? Jesus gave us peace. Isn't that good? John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear drives away our peace from our mind. Can't get it out of our hearts, but it drives away out of our minds. So, but don't allow that, because Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give it to you like the world give it to you. You know, the world's peace is temporary, and the world's peace is conditional. But the peace that Jesus gave us is not conditional. Peace will rid us of fear because trust produces peace. And you know what? We can choose to let our hearts be troubled or afraid, but we can choose to allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Because what did Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. Don't you let it be troubled. Don't you let your heart be afraid. Don't be afraid of any circumstance, any situation, but let the peace of God rise up in your heart. Because it's in there. I'm going to let you see that in a little bit, but the peace of God is in there. So let that peace of God rule and not fear. One of the fruits of the Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit, because only one fruit, it's got just got all these different ingredients in it, like baking a cake in the right ear. It's a cake is a cake, but a cake got all kind of ingredients in it, but it's still one cake. So the Holy Spirit there's one fruit, but it's a whole lot of ingredients in that one fruit. And one of the ingredients in that fruit is what? Peace. It's peace. Yes, peace. So, Lonnie, peace is in you. Peace is in our spirit man. It's one of the ingredients that the Holy Spirit put in us in the fruit. So it's there. So it's in you. Jesus gave it to us. He's in us. And so peace is in you. So there's no such thing as I can't walk in peace. I can't experience this peace. Oh, yes, you can, because it's there in you. It's in you. It's in there. 1 John 16, 33 says this. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's Jesus. He said in him, and we are in him. The scripture tells us over and over again that we're in Christ and Christ is in us. And so in him, we have peace. Everywhere we go, we're in him. We're never out of him. We're always in him. He's always in us. Now, you might not be acting like he's in you, but he's in you. You might not be thinking like he's in you, but he's in you. And if you're born again, he's in you. And if he's in you, you have his peace. You have his peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Just because you're walking through tribulation doesn't mean you don't have peace. And Jesus said, what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He overcame the world. And since he overcame, we can overcome. In Christ, we have peace. I'm so glad about that. Thank God I know I got peace. Because one time in my life, I didn't know I had the peace of God with me always in every circumstance. Romans 5:1 says this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you didn't believe you had peace before today's message, after the message today, you ought to know you got peace. So we've been justified by faith, and so now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know God, if somebody listens to this tape, and you don't know God, then the way to get peace, know God. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let him in your heart. Let him in. Let him in. Let him in. Let him in. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and I give my heart and my life to you. And you will have the peace of God. And so once you have the peace of God through salvation, And we've been justified by faith. We have peace through God, with God through Christ. God is not man. That verse says this: because we have the peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, God is not mad at you. God is not upset with you. He's not angry with you. God hates sin, but he loves you. He loves you. He's not angry. He's not upset. Don't worry about, I'm not pleasing God. God's upset with me. God don't like me. God don't love me. Now that's all lies from the enemy trying to steal your peace. God loves you. He's not angry with you. He doesn't like everything we do. He don't like everything we say. He don't like everything we think. Sometimes he don't like everywhere we go. But he's not upset with us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He's not like us with parents, you know, with our children. You know, we never stop loving our children, but we do get upset with them and angry when they don't do right, don't act right. They go places we don't want them to go. We get upset. But God's not like that. He's not like man, the Bible says. Yeah, so glad about that. So he's not mad. He's not upset. He's not angry. You know what he's doing? He's just loving on you. He's just trying to get you to talk like he know you need to talk. He's trying to get you to walk like he know you need to walk. He's trying to get you to stop going on places he know ain't good for you and go to them places he knows good for you. Because what? Because he wants you to walk in peace. He wants you to be walking his peace. Because all that other stuff, the worldly stuff, is not peace. There's no peace there. Our peace is in the Lord. Our peace is in the Lord. So he's not mad. He's not angry. He loves you. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Yes. Having a spiritual mind is life and is peace. You know, so if we want life and peace, we got to set our mind on spiritual things. Colossians 3:1. We got to set our mind on spiritual things so we can what? We can be spiritually minded. You can only be spiritually minded if you set your mind on spiritual things. Then you can have life and peace. Colossians 3:1 says this: if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. If you want the peace of God to be operating in your life, you got to seek those things which are above. And Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Why are we setting our mind on things above and not on things of the earth? Because we want to be spiritually minded. Because spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. It's life and peace. Peace comes from believing. Peace doesn't come from unbelief. Peace comes from believing. Romans 15:13. Peace comes from believing. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peace in believing. When you believe the word of God, when you believe what God tells you, when you believe what God shows you, then that brings peace. That brings peace. Unbelief doesn't bring peace, but believing brings peace. And peace should rule in our hearts. When you're making a decision, you should do the peace rule. Do the peace check. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Don't come in agreement with anything that doesn't bring God's peace. If you're trying to make a decision about something, what to do, where to go, and if you don't have God's peace about it, stop. Don't do it. If God is not, you don't have God's peace about that decision, don't make it. Follow the way and make the decision that brings God's peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Don't let emotions rule in your heart. Don't let situations rule in your heart. And for sure, don't let the flesh rule your heart. Don't do anything because of your fleshly appetite. Don't do anything to please other people. But let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And I like this one. The peace of God tore down the wall of division. The peace of God tore down the wall of division. Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. 2:16, read the next verse, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. The peace of God has taken away every prejudice and hatred and given us love and peace. If you're walking in the peace of God and you allow the peace of God to rule in you, then you're not walking in prejudice. You're not walking in division. And there's so much division in the body of Christ because they're not walking in peace. They're not walking in peace. Not walking, but I can't say that they're not walking in love and peace. Because really, grace, peace, and love all go together, the scripture says. So, but if we walk in the peace of God, then we're not going to be walking in division. We're going to be walking in that brings people together. Because God has done what? He's made him one new man. In the body of Christ, there's just one body. And God has made us all one. And if we're not walking in that oneness of God with his peace, then we're walking outside of the will of God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:13, if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And that means when you go somewhere, if it's worthy of the peace of God, you don't have to do anything. The peace of God will be there. But according to what I find in the Bible, if it's not worthy, that peace will come back on you. It won't stay there. It'll return to you. So we want to be able to allow the peace of God what to rule and to be able to release that peace. Everywhere we can, release the peace of God. First Corinthians 1:3, I'm getting ready to close. 1 Corinthians 1:3 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I so love the way the Bible, the apostles that wrote the Bible, how they blessed the people with grace and peace. Everywhere they went, every book has a salutation. And every book has like a benediction. And the author started out with blessing the people with grace and peace. And then at the end, some books, they would say, grace and peace be multiplied to you. I love that. And 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. In every way, the Lord be with you all. Amen. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way that he can see to give you peace. Every situation, God wants to give you peace. The Lord be with you all. May his peace be with you. And then 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. I told you that love and peace went together. And the God of love and peace be with you. He's a God of peace, but he's also a God of love. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace with each other. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Ephesians 6:23, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I want to leave you with this. Philippians 4:6-8. I'm going to read it in the King James Version, but I also read it in the Passion Translation. I often go to this verse too in the past years and probably be going to it some more. But I often remember this verse when problems trying to come to get you to worry. And you automatically worry. So you got to automatically, you got to teach yourself with the word of God and train yourself with the word of God to stop worrying. Because a mind desires to worry. But that's not the will of God for our mind. Philippians 4:6 says this, be anxious for nothing. That means the anxious means don't worry. It means don't worry because worry brings anxiousness. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry, pray. Don't worry, pray. Because if you worry, your peace is going to be stolen. But if you pray, then God is going to grant you what you're asking for, what you need to give you peace. So let your request be made known to God. Let God know about it. He cares. He's the God of peace. Because the next verse says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The remedy for worry is in these two verses. If you find yourself worrying about something or anxious about something, read Philippians 4 and 6. Read it, meditate on it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all, but we got to do something first. Verse 6 tells us what we got to do. And then verse 7 tells us what God's going to do. Verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Stop worrying and allow the peace of God to do it for you. And then the 8th verse says, finally, brethren, like, okay, I told you to do this, but there's something else. So finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things or think on these things. So if you're thinking about something, you need to take the Philippians 4:8 test, put it there, and test it with this verse. Is it true? If it ain't true, get rid of it. Is it noble? Matter of fact, if it fails any one of these tests, then get rid of it. If it's not noble, get rid of it. It's not just, get rid of it. If it ain't pure, you need to get rid of it. If it's not lovely, get rid of it. If it's not a good report, get rid of it. We really need that good report one, because a lot of time people transfer, it's not a good report. They study talking about stuff, and it's a bad report. It's not a good report. If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So that's what you should be thinking on. Then Philippians 4:9 says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul is saying, I'm a good example. So if you see somebody that's a good example, learn from that person that's a good example. Learn from that person that's not gossiping. Learn from that person that's always walking in peace, always bringing peace with them, always a quiet, serene, peaceful person, not a carousing person. If you're going to learn from a carousing person, you're going to learn how not to be peaceful. If you find a person that's always upset, always disturbed, nothing ain't going right, you're not going to learn peace from that person. And the God of peace will be with you. And I'm going to read the Passion Translation. We're going to ready to close. The Passion Translation says this. And I'm still reading Philippians 4, 6 through 8, 6 through 9, but it's just the Passion Translation. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. That makes it more plainer for us. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. Hear that? Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith, your requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. I like that. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answer known to you through Jesus Christ. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on that which is authentic and real, honorable, admirable, beautiful, respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Follow the example of all that we have imparted to you, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. Grace and peace. Today we focus on peace, the peace of God. We all have it on the inside of us. It's how we're supposed to live. It's how we're supposed to walk. in God's peace. God don't want us worrying. God don't want us meditating on the wrong thing, which is worry. But he wants us to tell him every detail of our lives. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Because peace is in you. The peace of God is in you. It's in you. You have the ability to walk in that peace. If it's in you, we have grace to walk in it, to live it out. Live it out. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for grace and peace. And we thank you for your peace, God. You've given us peace. You've given us peace. Jesus said you left your peace with us, and you said your peace you've given to us, and it's in us. And God, you're a God of peace. You're a God of peace. And God, the world needs love, but the world also needs peace. And you can't have love without peace, and you can't have peace without love. And so, God, we thank you for your peace in us today. Help us to walk in that peace, to allow that peace to overflow through us. Help us pursue peace. And let that peace be in our lives every day, wherever we are. We want the peace of God to rule, the peace of God to be there with us. We want to depend on your peace, God. And so, God, we thank you for peace. Thank you for the God of peace. God, you're a God of peace. We thank you for your peace. Thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for the peace, God. Oh, God, how we love your peace. Help us to allow your peace to rule in our hearts. So that we'll not go away from your peace, but we'll go toward your peace. We'll make decisions, Father God, that are in your peace. So, God, we thank you. We pray for peace, for many don't have peace. Many don't realize, even in the body of Christ, they don't realize that that peace is right there for them. That it's an ingredient in the fruit that you've given them. So, God, bring peace to their mind. Let them know that they have peace, and all they have to do is pursue it and look to that peace. And that peace can be multiplied by knowing you. God, you keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on you. So God, help us to keep our minds on you so that we can stay in your perfect peace. God, we thank you for peace today. We pray for your peace in this world, God, that those that don't know you will know, come to know you in your peace. Only you can bring peace in situations, God. And God, we thank you. We thank you for peace. We thank you for you, the God of peace. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, for it's in him that we are able to receive and walk in your peace. So God, we thank you. We give you all the glory, God. We give you all the praise, and we magnify your name. And God, we say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, I know what it is not to have peace. And I know what it is to have peace. And so, God, I thank you for peace this morning. Thank you for peace. Thank you for peace. And God, if there's any area of our lives where we're not walking in peace, help us, God, to bring that area of our life to you, to bring that thing to you and receive your peace in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. We speak peace over our children. We speak peace over our finances. We speak peace over every situation and circumstance in our life. God, we speak peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Are there any prayer requests? We're going to get ready to close. We're going to take a minute to see if there anybody have any prayer requests. Zoom, do you have any prayer requests? Anybody here have any prayer requests? Amen. We thank God. I don't think I have any prayer requests for my Bible study or last week. I did have a classmate that passed last week. And I prayed when we prayed comfort to his family. that his family would comfort him. He was in the rest home. He's been sick for a long time. He had an accident years and years ago that confined him to a wheelchair, and then he had to go to a rest home, and so he passed away. They're gonna cremate him and just have a memorial service, and so we pray comfort for his brothers and sisters. I think his parents has already passed away, but he has brothers and sisters left. We pray, and it might just be sisters left, but we pray comfort over them as they bring, the death of their brother to the Lord and receive comfort as they mourn over him, because we all mourn. We're not supposed to mourn like those that have no hope mourn, but the Bible said we do mourn. We mourn like those that have hope, and so we thank God for that. Well, if there's no prayer request, we're going to be dismissed by saying amen, amen, amen.